Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
W.C. Fields said, "There are only two real ways to get ahead today, sell liquor or drink it." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who sells liquor and makes it easy to drink. Today's Playmakers company produces products with names such as Chocolate Teas, Peach Balls, and Lata Colada. With us today is a CEO who's a former news anchor for CBS. This great playmaker is Merrily Kick. Merrily is CEO and founder of Buzzballs Southern Champion. Now, Buzzballs Southern Champion makes ready-to-drink cocktail brands such as Buzzballs and Buzz Talls, as well as premium spirits brands such as rum, vodka, gin, and bourbon, which are sold in 46 states and 21 countries in convenience stores, liquor stores, casinos, arenas, and airlines. The company is family-operated and home to 100 employees in the Dallas area. Well, Merrily, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve.
How'd you go from the University of Montana in Missoula to Buzzballs?
Well, it wasn't a straight line projection there. I started at the University of Montana, got my degree in finance, economics, and computer science. And then I was hired by Ross Perot to come down and be a computer engineer for EDS, Electronic Data Systems, in Texas. After about 6 years with EDS, writing computer programming for Medicare, Medicaid, insurance applications, I went to Computer Sciences Corporation, and then I started having children with my husband, who is also at the same company. Then we moved to Johannesburg, South Africa. And
was that with the computer industry?
Yeah, that was with EDS. When my husband was still with EDS, he was in finance and I was more on the computer side. But by then, I was starting to have children and they were little. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to stay home and raise the kids. Went to Africa. And it was really interesting. It was right after apartheid ended and American companies were allowed to come back into the country. So EDS was purchasing three different businesses and merging them together under the EDS umbrella over there. I raised children over there, but I also started a company called Women in Film and Television, which was a subset of the Women in Film and Television over here in the United States. And before I had left the United States to go to Africa, I was doing some bit part acting, some voiceovers and things like that, TV commercials, some modeling and things like that. I'd lost some of that baby weight and then moved to Africa and I started getting my photo shoots and I got my agents and I said, hey, why don't we start this Women in Film and Television? So started that over there, made $3 million for this nonprofit organization and had a whole bunch of people sign up to be in this nonprofit that I started. It was really exciting and a lot of fun. Moved to Sweden after that and lived there for 5 years.
Now, this is going 180 degrees from South Africa to Sweden.
Right. My husband's job took us to Sweden, and I worked on voiceovers. So I worked for Ericsson Corporation, Absolut Vodka, you name it, Sprite. Did a whole bunch of voiceovers for them. And that's how I made my living up there. Besides raising the kids, you know, for my job, right? And then my husband's job came back to Texas. And so I got a job with CBS News, CBS Radio, as a news anchor. And so we were out at the ballpark in Arlington, and that's where my news anchor job was. I wrote the newscasts. After about, I don't know, 3 years of that, I wanted to get a teaching job because being the low person on the totem pole there, everybody had been in the industry for a long time, a lot longer than I had. So I worked every Christmas, every holiday. I was always given the crummy hours. And I thought, you know, it'd be great to have the same hours as the kids. So I got a teaching certificate and started teaching at Plano West Senior High School in Plano. And that was really fun. I loved teaching. Did that from 2003 to 2010. But during that time, and this is where we finally start getting into the buzz balls thing. During that time, in 2007, I think it was, they said, hey, we'll pay for your master's degree if you want to go get it. And I said, okay, great. I want to get my master's degree. I'll get my MBA. And they said, no, it needs to be in administration or science or English or something like that. And I said, but I teach business courses. I want it in business. I want my MBA. And so I fought them on it, and they let me have it. So I ended up getting my MBA. And Buzzballs was my master's degree thesis project. So out there grading papers by the pool, trying to figure out what my project's going to be about, what my final project was, and Buzzballs, a little party ball, was my idea. Because I thought, you know, I was about ready to get a divorce after all these years, 18 years of being married and living overseas. I didn't have any money, and being a teacher, I wasn't having really great prospects of making money. Loved what I did, but just didn't make any money. And I thought, you know, I've got to find a way out. I got to find a way to make money. And I thought, what do people do that, you know, always survives in good times and bad? And right around that time was the recession. So I was thinking, good times and bad. It's sex, drugs, booze, gambling. I thought, I like booze. I chose booze, started this Buzzballs idea.
Now, how did that idea come to you?
Well, I was sitting there grading papers. I had a votive candle next to me from Sweden, where we had lived, and it was a round little snowball. And I was also drinking cocktails, grading papers, and thinking, you know, I probably shouldn't have this glass out here by the pool. I should, you know, be in a plastic container. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to make a round little party ball? That'd be so cool, you know, and make it strong like I would like it, something that gives you a little buzz, you know, but doesn't make you feel so full and fat and make you go to the bathroom all the time. You think about being on an airplane, and it's like you have one beer, and it's like, okay, now I have to run to the bathroom 3 or 4 times, you know, just to catch up with my beer, but I still don't have a buzz. So, you know, I wanted to make something strong enough and tasty enough, fresh enough that I would drink it, but not enough to make me feel full. So now, anyway, that's how it came from.
We're sitting and looking. I'm looking at some of the product on the table right in front of us. But it's one thing to come up with an idea for liquor, alcohol. Another thing to come up with the name, and you came up with that, sounds like, relatively quickly. But it's the recipes and how you do it you had to come up with, too. Talk about that. How did you come up with the different types or the varieties of Buzzballs, Buzztalls, etc.?
Well, it wasn't an easy process. I was used to just making an orange juice and vodka. But then when you start reading the regulations from the federal standpoint on what you can and can't do, you can't, for example, add Worcestershire sauce to your Bloody Mary because somebody owns the rights to Worcestershire sauce. And or rum and Coke. Let's say I wanted to make a rum and Coke. I can't use Coke. I have to use make my own Coke, you know. So the only thing that you didn't have to have a recipe approved for was natural juices, orange juice, pineapple juice, those kinds of things. So I thought, well, if I use natural juices, that's perfect. You know, I can just add vodka to orange juice or whatever. So that's kind of how it started. But then the whole thing of, you know, how do you make it shelf life stable for a year? You know, how long will it last in that bottle? Before it starts to get yucky. And luckily with mine, you know, I have so much booze in mine that nothing grows. No yeast, no mold, no bacteria. However, the flavor can change if it's not, it's just not as fresh if you use fresh juice all the time. So we had to perfect it. And we've been at this for 10 years now, so we've mastered it. But it wasn't the first time, you know, it wasn't first out of the shot that it was great. You know, many renditions. Trying to perfect that.
Well, your Buzzballs and your Buzztalls have some interesting names. I mentioned a couple at the beginning of the show. You have Tequila Rita. So did you just experiment with, and you must have enjoyed doing this too,
oh, yeah,
experiment with the different juices and the alcohol to come up with the right taste?
You know, we knew we wanted to make a horchata, or we knew we wanted to make something that tasted like a Bailey's Irish Cream or a screwdriver. But OJ, you know, and I don't know if this is rated RG. like my chalk teas was one of the funniest ones I thought that we had, chalk teas. And Blair, the guy that works for me, he said, we got to tone it down for some of these in the Bible Belt because, you know, they're not going to like chalk teas. You know, they're going to chocolate teas is more palatable at the grocery level, but chalk teas was named after, my father named that, you know, as kind of like cock teas, but, you know, it was just kind of funny. So it was either that or fudge packer, and I thought that chalk teas was a little better. We have strawberry rum job, you know. These are funny names that we came up with, just O.J. Screamer, named after O.J. You know, just funny little tongue-in-cheek kind of names that make people laugh. And that's what we're here to do. And the slogan of Buzzballs is have a ball. You know, we want to have fun. We want you to let your hair down. It's not a serious drink. You know, it's something to go out and have fun, smile a little bit.
Well, I'm looking at the website, which is Buzzballs, BUZZBALLZ.com.
Notice the Z is tipped.
I did notice that. That was my next question.
You know why?
Why?
It gets you tipsy. Get it?
That's very good. And did you come up with, did you add the Z's because of buzz originally?
Yeah, and I wanted the tipped Z for tipsy. And then if you look around at our warehouse here, you'll see that the windows in our offices are also tipped.
Very good. So you kept the format going.
The theme.
With everything, the theme. If you go to the website, you'll get a chance to see what Buzz Talls looks like and Buzz Balls looks like, because they're very unique.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about putting those together the way you did, with the way the Buzz Talls are tall with plastic, mm-hmm, and the Buzz Ball shape.
And the shape of a ball that gets you buzzed, right? So when I first came out with this, I wanted to make a party ball, and I wanted to make it round, and I wanted to make it see-through so that you could look through it. I had never seen the inside of an aluminum can or a beer can, and I thought, you know, it's kind of neat to know what happens to that little tab when you pop it in there. You know, where does it go? What does it look like? So
this is your own proprietary,
yeah,
not only recipe, but also container.
Right. So I was sitting there one day, and I was going, can a metal lid attach to a plastic container? And I was struggling with it. And then I went to Walmart, came out. I had bought some tennis balls for my kid. And I was like, that's a metal can lid on a plastic container. That's how you do it. And so the idea came to mind as to how to make it work. And then it took a whole bunch of R&D, me figuring out how to make the actual shape of this thing and get it to work. I asked a whole bunch of people in the United States if they would help me, and the answer was always no, because I wasn't Heinz Ketchup or somebody that had a lot of money or was going to need a million jillion pieces. I just needed 200, you know, or something to start with. They weren't about to do it. And I didn't have the cash flow to R&D it the way it needed to be done. So I had to work with China. And so I was on Alibaba one day trying to figure out who to work with and weeding out suppliers. Figured out how to create the container with a CAD designer here in the United States, and then sent my designs over to China to have them made. After a couple of years of doing that, my son and I went over to China to see the conditions, to see what it was like, see how did they do it, because I wanted to bring that back to the United States. So we went over there and figured out how he was doing it, because it was all hush-hush, very secret, you know, and all that. But we figured it out. It wasn't that hard. So it was hard, but it wasn't that hard. You know, we could figure it out. So we had some machines made. That took a year, you know, and then our molds made. And then about a week before we were supposed to have that container land in the United States, the fire department came over to our warehouse and they said, hey, yeah, you know, we gave you a certificate of occupancy for this warehouse that you're renting, but it doesn't have a sprinkler system and you have a lot of booze in here. So we think that maybe it'd be best if you move. And I said, really, it's difficult. You know, I've got federal permits, I've got state permits, I've got all these states that I've got, you know, under our belt. Can't do that within a week or 2 months even. It takes months and months to do this. And they said, well, too bad, we're shutting you down if you don't change. And we're going to come in every day and do a physical inspection. So, I mean, they just really rode us really hard. And I found this building around the corner that was kind of dilapidated and greasy and disgusting and basically almost in foreclosure. But it had concrete tilt walls and a good roof. It was in a good location next to my distributor, Southern Glaciers. And we came in with power sprayers and degreasers and just ripped it down to the bones and ripped out all the water lines, all the power lines, everything, just started over. And so that's what we did. And we were only down for 2 months, but man, it was tough. So yeah, it's just finding somebody to help me make this stuff. And then when I got ready to have my machines land over here in the United States, they were like, ooh, are those UL compliant? Are those, you know? And then, you know, they just made it really hard for me. So we had to go out to separate warehouses in other parts of the state that didn't have such a dick for a fire marshal. And, you know, just you get around it, but it's a good thorn in your side.
Well, whenever you start a business, you get into it with your eyes wide open, knowing what you want to do. And then there's always those little things that pop up that you weren't aware of that causes you to get your, basically, your MBA in starting your business because you're learning as you're going along. Mm. So you mentioned a couple of obstacles, but any other major obstacles that you had to deal with to get the ball, so to speak, the ball rolling for BuzzBalls?
Yeah, about I got my first order from Glazier's, and I was so excited. It was my very first order in 2010. And my sons, my husband, my friends, my parents, everybody worked for free, basically, to try to help me get these 25 pallets out. I slept there at the warehouse because I just it was too much work to do and our machines were too slow. So it was very difficult. Got the first order finally delivered within a week of production. And everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But after about 3 or 4 months, I waited for Glazier's to sell my product, and they weren't selling it. And I thought, what did I do wrong? You know, they're not selling it. So I had to go out and sell it for them and then call their boss to say, hey, this is what I sold for you today. I was in this part of the state, and I went around to all these stores, and here's my list of stores that I sold to, so I need you guys to follow up. And it kind of ticked them off. But, you know, I couldn't let it fail. Well, about 3 or 4 months into it, though, I didn't have any money, and I was running out of cash, and I didn't know what to do. My parents, I thought, all this, you know, and I'm going to go under. I'm not going to be able to float payroll. And I only had, like, 2 paid employees, but, you know, just the rent and the other things that come with it, insurance. So my parents sold part of their ranch and put up, gave me $50,000, basically, cashed in some bonds and stuff, gave me 50 grand, and that was enough just to get me over the hump so that I could survive till I got my cups in from China and I could refill the next order. But, man, it was really scary. You know, I was just nip and tuck there.
But what I heard you say, there was 5 words that in working with successful individuals, this is what kept it going. I couldn't let it fail.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. I mean, what was the alternative? Right?
Well, you could
lose all this.
But as a person that has a vision, that has a dream, that is focused on what they're doing, you figure out a way to not let it fail.
Right.
Now, if you didn't get that $50,000 from your parents, there probably would have been some other way you would have gotten it.
Prostitution, probably.
That would, no. That would have been an option. It could have been an option. But you would have figured out how to do what you had to do. Anything that is a problem has a solution. And you get creative when you're focused on what you're doing. So as a business owner, as a female business owner who's been in business for just under 10 years, mm-hmm. what advice would you give to anybody that had an idea to start a business?
Well, you know, I mean, there's so many things that I could give advice on. You know, it just depends on what people are doing. But I think that one of the things that was real important for me was to have a buyer before I went and begged for a loan, because I tried it the other way. I went and begged for a loan, showed my ideas, my concepts, and the bankers were going, do you have any experience? No. Do you know anybody in the industry? No. Do you have any money from? No. Do you have anything? You know, I mean, I didn't even have any assets as collateral, but I mean, I used assets as collateral. The assets that I had were my car, my furniture, my parents' cows on their ranch, you know. I mean, I had nothing. So it was really tight. But, you know, I think that bankers will believe in you more if you actually have a signed on, credited, a qualified buyer. And I had Southern Glazier's that came in and rescued me. And I thought, yay, you know, this means I'm going to be in all 14 of their states, you know. And it wasn't true. It was just like they were going to give me a test run in the Dallas market in one state. But, you know, it was the start.
Well, you have liquor you sell. You also have the BuzzBalls, BuzzTalls. You have a number of different products. You have, I believe, Biggies and Chillers. Where are you going from here? What is the future for Buzzball's Southern Champion?
Okay, well, I basically have two companies. I have the Buzzballs company, and I have Southern Champion company. And Buzzballs is everything fun. You know, have a ball shaped like a ball. Let's party. It's all ready to drink cocktails in different shaped, different types of containers. And then on the Southern Champion side, that's everything that's not so fun. But it's like Andrew John's Gin, Pelican Harbor Rum, Crooked Fox Bourbon.
And these are available in most or many liquor stores across the United States.
Like Total Wine and
other countries, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Buzzballs are the things that are selling most everywhere because that's the thing I started with first. The spirits lines take longer to get off the ground. But right now we've been asked by H-E-B, which is a Texas-based big grocery chain, to make them some private label stuff, which we've started doing. And they're incredible. You know, they really get behind a brand, and we were making a Texas craft cocktail for them, some tea and margaritas and things like that. Man, they really support it. And then we've got some wines. We've got vodka, 13 Kings vodka. You know, you name it. Mostly because I just wanted all those things.
Awesome. So in other words, if someone's having a party, the number one guest on the list should be Mary Lou
Kick.
I'm
a good friend, yes. So what's next for us is we're continuing to refine those Southern Champion brands to make those labels look better, sleeker, better bottles for the bartenders. We're having, as we know more, fixing more things. So like if it's in the bar, how does the bartender grab the drink, the bottle, and what does he or she need in terms of flipping that bottle upside down? Just those little things that you learn after being in the industry for a while that you don't know when you start creating things. But I think the next thing for us in terms of the packaging side is probably going to make some bud balls and go into the marijuana packaging side of things. I think it'd be fun, you know.
Based on your personality and the kind of company you have, that seems like the logical next step for you.
Yeah, why not?
Might as well. Now, if someone wants to find out about this, they obviously can go into a liquor store in their area and look for Buzzballs.
Right.
But where else can they find out more about Buzzballs Southern Champion?
Oh, well, on our website, of course. You know, we always have we have a fan page where people can get free swag if they buy Buzzballs and send us their receipt. And, we've got so many states that we're in, 46 states and 21 countries. They're just starting to get, we're dipping our toes into the international waters, and learning that that's just like having a whole separate new state. But in terms of just Buzzballs knowledge, we have events all over the place. This weekend we'll be at the Dallas Jazz Fest. We'll be at the Huntington Beach Air Show. We'll be, you know, we just got events all over the country. So, you know, just check out our website.
And you're just doing everything you can to get in front of people.
It's so fun, though. I mean, I love pulling into the parking lot knowing that 100 people work here and they like what they do. You know, you go out on our warehouse floor and people are actually smiling. You know, they're happy. So.
Well, I heard that if you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life. Hmm. And you're not working. You're enjoying it. So congratulations.
Work.
it's work. It's work, but you're also doing it because you enjoy it, too.
I like who I work with, too. I think that's really important.
And as an owner, you can choose those people you work with, which also helps, too. We've been speaking with Mary Lee Kick. She's CEO and founder of Buzzball's Southern Champion. This has been a wonderful show. This is great learning about what you have, and people can find out about it on your website, which is buzzballs.com.
Or southern-champion.com. Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
This has been a terrific show, speaking with Mary Lee Kick. It's been great having her on the show, and thanks to all of you for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.